Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great show lineup for you and a returning guest, Art Markman, PhD, and he's a really sharp guy, and we're glad to have him back. Quick introduction, and there's a long list of things I could tell you about Art, but he is really good at understanding this psychology of decision-making, and he's written the book Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. And the book, you can find a lot of good information over on Art's website, smartthinkingbook.com. And Art has his bachelor's from Brown University and his PhD from University of Illinois. And he is the Annabelle Worsham Centennial Professor of Psychology and Marketing at the University of Texas in Austin. That is a mouthful. And, well, Art's got lots to say, so let's get him on the program. Welcome back, Art.
Oh, it's great to be here, David.
Glad to have you. And I enjoyed our last show and got a lot of good feedback on that. And, of course, I enjoy also all of your articles and posts out there on social media. We keep track of what you're up to. And so wanted to have you back, kind of follow up on our conversation about decision-making, and I had a kind of a good little story or interesting story to kind of tee things up with about making good financial decisions, because, you know, it's very easy, and I know you can speak to this, it's very easy for our emotions to get in the way or cloud our judgment when it comes to making financial decisions. Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, emotions can be really valuable in making choices, but you have to understand what your emotions end up doing for you so that you can avoid those situations in which your emotions are going to actually get in the way of making good choices.
Okay. See, because we don't have, as humans, we don't have the ability to simply turn off our emotions. You know, one of my favorite television programs and movies are the Star Trek series, and you've had a couple of characters over the years. Back from the 60s, you had Spock, and then, of course, a more modern adaptation was the android called Data, and these folks basically had the ability to lock down their emotions in one way or another and then make good decisions. Well, we don't have that luxury.
No, I think that's right. But, you know, the fact is that we often don't have enough information to make really good choices rationally. And so one of the things our emotional system does for us is it picks up on all sorts of subtle cues in the world that in many circumstances can actually help us make better choices. For example, you meet somebody at a party and your little spidey sense goes off, tells you, you know, this person is not somebody I want to spend time with. And that's more often than not actually a pretty good decision to walk away from that person, because even though you can't put a finger on exactly what it is that's bugging you about them, chances are there's something that the system that talks with your emotions really is picking up on. So I think there's a lot of situations in which that kind of emotional decision making can be really valuable. Where it has a problem is in the things that people are particularly bad at, mostly with things like probabilities, because we are just horrible with probabilities.
Yeah.
We're not really designed to deal with those. And so those are the situations, and that can be true when you're trying to play the market, can be true when you are trying to make medical decisions that have probabilities associated with them. And of course, you know, the quintessential place there where probabilities come into play is in casinos.
Yeah, no, quite. Well, I don't want to get to that, because I had a recent experience with that, and I'd love to use that as an example. You know, is it another way of describing it, Art, is it that it's our systems are built, you know, you kind of said, hey, our systems aren't really built to deal with some of these things. The way our biology and psychology works, it seems to me, and you're the expert, but it seems to me, it's almost like our systems are a little more crudely designed than we'd like to think. And that survival spidey sense that you mentioned, I've had a lot of circumstances where my, you know, I just met somebody, or I was, you know, had an encounter, or my spidey senses are going off all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, something just doesn't feel right. I'm like, you know, I just don't get a good vibe. And it's that connection of our emotional and nervous system and all that. We just pick up on things that in days of old, back when, you know, surviving meant running when you need to run and or, you know, getting out of harm's way from physical danger. Those things are still embedded in our DNA.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can be really valuable, because what happens is the system that we use to make these rational choices is one that requires that we be able to verbalize, to talk about all of the elements that go into that decision. And there are certainly lots of cases in which we can verbalize those things. But when you talk about dealing with other people in the world, or even kind of complex aesthetic decisions, that is things about beauty or just what is going to feel right to you, those, we don't have words for those. Think about buying a house, for example. You know, people, when they buy houses, if you watch people when they do that, they walk into a house and they immediately have this gut reaction. I don't like it.
Right.
Or sometimes, I love this house. Now, it might be really hard for them to put words to what it is that makes them feel that way, but that experience that creates that positive emotion or negative emotion when you walk in that house is actually valuable, because it is that bit of experience that's going to be so important for what it's going to be like to live in that house later.
Hmm. Is it fair to say that we will make an emotional or less than logical decision about something and then go back and find the facts and logic to support that argument?
We certainly can do that sometimes. You know, that's a bit of a danger.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's important to recognize is, when is that emotional system going to do good things for us? When is it going to do not such good things for us? I think where it does good things for us is when there are lots of sources of information that come together in making the choice, and where those sources of information would be really hard to put into words.
Okay.
The two places where the emotional system is going to cause you real trouble, one of them is, as I said before, where there's a lot of probability information that you really need to be taking into account, where your emotional system is not going to do so well with that. And then the other is in situations in which your kind of sense of familiarity about the world has been manipulated by other people, in particular through things like advertising.
Oh, yeah.
If you ask yourself, what is the thing that advertising really does? What it really does is to change your sense of the statistics of the world. Because if I expose you over and over and over again, say, to the Coca-Cola logo, what I'm really doing is making your brain believe that Coca-Cola is everywhere. And if it's everywhere and it hasn't killed you, it must be safe and good.
Right.
And so you get this positive emotional reaction to Coca-Cola, because Coke has spent a lot of money manipulating your environment.
Well, we certainly see that in the beauty industry, don't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is the ideal. Yeah, I read a sign one time walking through the mall, and I loved it. It said there are 8 supermodels in the world, supermodel women in the world, and 3 billion that aren't, something
right.
like that. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's some better perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Interesting. If you're just joining us, Art Markman, PhD, is our guest today, and he is, along with Bob Duke, the host of the radio show Two Guys on Your Head, which, of course, that's why we have him here, to help us get inside our brains and understand some of this and help us make better decisions about our finances is an obvious application. And we'll dig in a little deeper after a quick break. We'll come back and talk with Art and the book. Of course, you got to take a look at the book. Great stuff. Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. SmartThinkingBook.com. We'll be right back.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey there, we're back. Art Markman, man, myth, or legend? I suggest all three. You like that, don't you? That's good. Hey, I'm just go around introducing you to the world, man. Good stuff. I love your insights, and I think my listeners will too. Let's pick up where we left off there, Art. And you mentioned the example of how we're really bad with statistical probabilities and making choices. And you know, there is no better example than, of course, the world of gambling. And I not long ago, I was on a cruise ship, and I'm, you know, the my son's in the teen lounge now, up there having a good time, and the wife and my daughters were at a show, and that's not really my thing. And so I was out strolling the ship, and all of a sudden I heard all these, you know, people laughing, and I heard, you know, machines making noises, and I turned a corner, and there's a casino.
Yeah.
I'm like, hot dog, I did not know this was on the ship. So I sat down, and it was a lot of fun. I've only gambled maybe three times my entire life, and I spent a couple of hours, and it just goes straight to what those endorphins start pumping. It's just fun. And of course, you'd be proud of me. I was very careful. I made a decision up front how much I was willing to spend for the entertainment, and I knew it that that's what it was. This was not a money making proposition. But why is it when we look, my favorite game is roulette. So I sit down and I see the board. I know that if I, you know, if the ball matches where my chip is sitting, I'm going to get a big payoff. And you look at the board and you go, okay, well, I've got a chance to really clean up here. Why do we have such a hard time with the probabilities?
Well, right. So, of course, remember first that that the odds are always stacked against you at the casino. So the way they do that with roulette, of course, is there's 38 slots on a roulette wheel, but they base all of the odds that you see on 36 slots.
Okay.
And because what they do is they number them from 1 to 36, and then there's a 0 and a double 0.
That's true.
And so that throws all the odds off. So basically what that means is the longer you play, the more the probability says you're going to be losing money to the house. I mean, that's the first thing to bear in mind. Now, the second thing about roulette in particular is that the human mind really loves to find pattern in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's, oh, yeah.
We are, because that's where our information is, right?
Yep, yep.
It's in the pattern. So the interesting thing about roulette is you could say, well, you know, maybe the house ought to cheat. Right?
Yeah.
But actually,
they don't need to.
Right. It turns out that the best thing that they can do is really to make the wheel as random as possible. Because
right.
What that means is you're going to go looking for patterns.
Yep.
And
there's not.
And make bets on the basis of these patterns you think are there, when in fact every slot has an equal probability of coming up. And we're not really wired for that. So look at what they do with the roulette wheel to kind of suck you into that pattern matching. So now with all the electronics, they will post the score, the numbers that came up for the last, you know, 10 to 20 spins, depending on what casino you're in. They've got that little board up at the top that shows, well, here's what came up, say, the last 10 times. So now you can start looking to say, oh, well, it must be due to come up black now because
okay.
the last three spins were red.
Right.
Or, oh, it seems to be going up by fives. Let me you know, guess that it's going to go up by five again. Anything you do that makes you find a pattern is going to keep you at the table for longer, and that's all they're trying to do is keep you at the table as long as possible and then let all of the probabilities do their work in favor of the house after that. So they're really good at that.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I mean, I find the whole thing just so just interesting. And you're right. It's just a matter of time because the odds are, you know, if it's 36 spots or however you do the, you know, the comparison of the numbers and the payouts and all that, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But you know, I mean, look, they make it fun.
Oh yeah, it's
right?
very fun.
Casinos got a lot of lights and bells. You've got
and drinks are free
you
while
drinks.
You're playing.
You know,
yeah.
Get some free drinks. The alcohol will dampen the effectiveness of what I've called on past shows when we've done this. I've called that the stop system.
Right.
Right. Well, right. you know you get a couple of drinks in you. And you don't want to give you too many drinks, right?
Right,
because
right.
they don't want you falling asleep at the table. But they do want your stop system not to be working so well,
right?
So that all of the excitement about gambling carries the day, and you don't push yourself away from the table. So they do that, and then they want you, you know, and the thing about casinos is they want you winning some of the time.
Exactly.
Right? Which is why, you know, the roulette wheel wouldn't be much fun if all you could do was bet on a number, on a single number, and you'd win, you know, one out of every 38 spins. So, you know, they've got the red and black where you're going to win roughly half the time, a little less than half the time.
And that's all they need.
Right. They've got things where you can bet on 12 numbers or six or and then the big bets too, so that every once in a while you see somebody get an enormous payout. And so all of that, you know, gives you just a little boost of energy, little boost of those endorphins, and that keeps you sitting there at the table. And again, the longer you do it, the more money that they're going to make from you.
Well, now let's take that, and that's all excellent, Art. Take that, and let's apply that to the world of investing, because it, you know, there's an obvious, easy carryover here that, you know, the thing that is very difficult to do with gambling and roulette is obviously to get up when you're winning, and even harder to get up if you're down from what you started. You know, if you sit down and you start with $100 and you're down to $50, you don't want to get up till you get back to 100. And when you get back to 100, well, wait a minute, I'm on a roll. I want to keep playing. And so there's this back and forth tug of war. And then if you look, that very easily translates over to the world of investing and how people look at their investments and that loss aversion and that stickiness of wanting to break even before they get out of something and end up losing their shirt.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think that both in the casino and in and in investing, you have to do what you said at the very beginning, which is to set a budget from the start of how much it is you're willing to lose should it go in that direction. Important to do that at the casino, because the casino, of course, is going to make it as easy as possible to, you know, with automatic teller machines and all sorts of other things present to allow you to spend more. But the same thing is going to happen in the investing world. You know, if you don't really put a limit as to how much you're willing to invest, you may end up throwing good money after bad order to try and break even again. And one of the things that we fall prey to, both in the casino and in the investing world, is sunk cost. So we know, you know, there's a big psychological concept called the sunk cost fallacy, which is the idea that in sunk cost, are the amount of money or time or energy that you've already spent on something. And what economics tells us is any money you've already put into something, any time you've already spent on it, any resources you put into it, those are gone. And so you shouldn't allow those to influence the next choice you make. The next choice you make should be based on whether this current thing is still a good investment of my time or money or energy. And so, but people, they don't do that, right?
They
say, well, you know what? If I pull out now from this investment, I will have wasted the money I already put into this. Well, the fact is that money's already gone.
Thank you, Art.
The question is, do you feel like it is a good investment for you to continue putting time, money, and energy into this new thing? And if it's not, then you got to walk away.
And this is why people need to have a review of their investments and look at them, get some objectivity, because you're too close to it. There's that old saying, you're too close to something to make a decision. You can't, you know, you're too close to the situation. And I can tell you that if I had a dollar, Art, for every time I've heard, well, I will get out of these stocks once they get back even. I don't want to take a loss now. Or my other favorite is, well, you know, I paid 5% to get into that mutual fund, so I don't want to get out of it, even though I've shown somebody that this fund is now way underperforming its peers, it's not well rated, it's not that good of a fund, and maybe even the annual expenses are high, but they paid to get into it, and it's that sunk cost you spoke about. But there's this idea or this the fallacy you spoke of as if you've made an investment in something, and it's really hard for people to let go.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the other thing is people don't like to admit that they've made a mistake.
Right.
And one of the things that happens when you lose money is that at the point where you cash out, whether you're cashing out at the casino or cashing out of your investment, you have to admit to yourself and at least to, you know, either your family or your financial advisor that this thing was a mistake. Nobody wants to do that.
No.
And I think, you know, from my financial advisor's standpoint, it's important for the advisor to point out the number of times that they've made mistakes.
Yeah. I tell you what I've done, and we'll go to a quick break here, but I've done is I've used the lily pad analogy and said, look, you know, your lily pad is all torn and tattered, and let's not stand on it. Let's pretend we're a frog. It's not a good thing to stay on this torn up lily pad. Let's go to this better, shiny, new one that's better constructed. And then when the water goes back up, we'll rise on this better lily pad. So, you know, it is difficult. People have a hard time accepting that they've maybe not gotten either the best advice or made the best choices themselves. And, you know, hey, that's just part of the human design. And people have a really hard time with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, quick break. Art Markman's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. And you can see why we've invited him back. The book is Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others. And the website, smartthinkingbook.com. Right back after this quick break.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back with Art Markman. That's our guest today. And we're glad to have him back to help us kind of untangle all these different psychological challenges that we face. And it can be very good and work for us, but also can hang us up and get in our way of some sound decision making. And, you know, can we unwind some of this, Art, and maybe try to provide some structure for ourselves by really embracing one of the key concepts I know you've talked about and written about in your book, and also, you know, you mentioned in a lot of your articles, and that is the idea of how your goals affect your choices. I mean, in other words, if we set some goals and some parameters for all of this and maybe a framework for our decision making, will that help us make better choices?
Well, I think it's really important to have goals that will help you to know when to stop.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think that's one of the big things, right? Because the real potential problem with a lot of investing is that, as we know, it's risky. And one of the things that most of us have trouble with, particularly if we're not expert at it, is what to do in situations of loss. Everyone's good with gains,
right?
I mean, you know, when you're making money, you know, you're just happy. Let it ride.
Right.
It's the question is, how do you deal with the losses that happen? And that's where you really need to have goals. You need to know, what level of risk am I willing to take? How much am I willing to continue to invest in something? And what is it that I'm really hoping to accomplish over the long term, so that I don't get so caught up in a particular loss that I lose sight of why I started investing in the first place.
Amen. Excellent.
You know, and so that, I think that's where those goals can be really helpful. That's why it's so helpful to have an advisor who's really willing to work with you to identify what those goals are, so that you can be very clear about those up front. I think the biggest danger anyone can get into in any situation, whether it's the casino or whether it's investing, is not having a clear goal when they start.
Yeah, and you know what occurs to me, Art, as you describe that? Just as we have all the sights and sounds and information and just constant stimulus in the casino, we now have that today from the media outlets, either on the internet or on television. And, you know, during the bottom, if you will, of the financial crisis, and we had the Dow going all the way down to 6,500 points in March of 2009, I mean, it was just a frenzy, and the media was just having a field day because people couldn't take their eyes off the television. And it really was almost like people being inside that casino environment with all the bells and whistles and sounds and noises that, you know, this just in, you know, alert, alert, alert. And it just created this environment where people were just freaking out.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's actually a similar thing with that you get in the casino, which is that we also try to put stories on all the day-to-day variation in the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact is that, you know, think about this.
Oh, yeah.
All that financial reporting that goes on, imagine that you translated that into the casino for a second. You know, I mean, if somebody was really reporting on every spin of the roulette wheel,
yeah,
the most accurate reporting would be, look, another random roll of the ball.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And really, if financial reporters were actually being
honest,
accurate,
yeah,
a lot of times they would say, well, the market went up today on a lot of random variation in trading.
Isn't that funny? That is so true. And but they, you're so right, because number one, they got to put a handle on it. First of all, because we like handles, they're convenient. But they we got to put a handle on it, and we got to talk about it, and we got to have a reason to say this just in, and here's an alert, and here's what's happening. We got to talk about it incessantly for an hour, and you know no more before than you did. And it's just, you know, it's just, it's crazy, but they got to fill the time. And listen, this is really shocking stuff. And if you come back after this break, commercial's going to appear. Come back after the break. We got more to tell you. So you cannot leave. You have to be here all day.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the thing that I think we need to remember about this kind of investing is, you know, just like the odds are stacked against you in the casino in the long run, you're trying to find long-run investments and let probability do its work. I mean, I think that you know, we've glorified the day trader these days, and really, you know, markets are probabilistic. People are really bad at probabilistic reasoning, and so really what you want to do if you want to be successful at investing is to find investments that you think are going to pay off in the long run, you know, stick with them for the long run, and make your decisions using data over a period of time. You know, it's rare that there's a single day that is the thing that's going to be making the difference. So, you know, you really need to be willing to look over longer periods of time and more data. And I think that people, we have a hard time with that because
yeah,
we want to explain what's happening today.
Right, exactly. Well, I tell you what, we'll have you back again. Art Markman, ladies and gentlemen, PhD, and the book Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself and Others, smartthinkingbook.com. Art, you're great. Love you. Like to have you back. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, David. It's always great to be here, and I'm looking forward to coming back again.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.